Okay, and welcome back. Hour number three. A lot going on. Just checking. The issue about who's infected and who's not. GOP North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis, who's running for re-election, is now announcing that he has tested positive. I just mentioned to you that Kellyanne Conway, who recently stepped down from her role as a top advisor to Trump in the White House, went home to her family, has also tested positive. So there are six key people now, not including Kellyanne, who were in the Rose Garden ceremony for the Supreme Court nominee, Amy Barrett. Interesting. Six people. There was a super spreader there, it sounds like. Interesting. Okay, let me pull up my headlines here and see what we've got. We want to put out here in front first. So Kellyanne Conway infected. Tom Tillis infected. I have a hunch that we're going to see more. Okay.
I'll tell you who the super spreader is, too.
Oh, I figured Henry would know. That's why I said that. Interesting. New England Journal of Medicine has taken a political position. It sounds political to me. It says coronavirus vaccines should be mandatory, and if anyone refuses, they should suffer some kind of a, quote, penalty. That's an interesting story. I wouldn't think that the New England Journal of Medicine would do that. Okay,
a Fairbanks journal.
Yeah, it's not a political journal.
Right. Fairbanks. So they're talking science. Go on.
A Fairbanks, Alaska woman was recently diagnosed with the second case of Alaska pox. It's a relative of smallpox. So watch for these unique stories to pop up. You're going to see more of them as well. Okay, Henry, let's step into this really rapidly devolving story. Go ahead.
Okay. We might as well start with the super spreader event because that kind of everything's kind of revolving around that. Initially Hope Hicks was tested positive, and that kind of got a narrative going that maybe she infected the president. So then the president and Melania were positive. And some got the impression that she somehow got infected, and then she infected the president, and maybe he infected his wife, da-da-da-da. But there's really no data to support that. In fact, all the data is against that. And it's pretty straightforward. It's just epidemiological that all three of them developed symptoms within one day of each other. And that indicates that they were infected by a common source, not that they one infected the other, because there's an incubation period.
Sure, understood.
And if it was one infecting the other, there'd be a gap between disease onset. And
What's our normal incubation period, Henry? Where is it now?
Oh, it's like 4 to 6 days or so would be common. That's when you would develop symptoms after you were infected.
All right. So
that would indicate that they were all infected either on the weekend or just before the weekend. And the big key is there was a photo that was circulating on Twitter, and I don't know if you saw it. It basically had a red circle around the president of Notre Dame, whose name is John Jenkins.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, the original photo had a circle around him, and then they also had a circle around Mike Lee and a circle around Melania Trump. So there were three circles there, and they were relatively close to each other. Melania was in the first row. John Jenkins was in the third row. And Mike Lee was just to the right of him. And then wasn't in the circle, but was in the picture, was Rona McDaniels. And she was sitting right next to John Jenkins in the third row. And then Tom Tillis was announced. And two seats to the right of John Jenkins was Tom Tillis. Between the two of them was Azar, but he was wearing a mask. He was one of the only ones there wearing a mask. So Azar was between Tom Tillis and John Jenkins. And then right in front of them, so she was totally surrounded, was Kellyanne Conway. So she had Melania in front of her, Mike Lee to the right of her, just across the aisle, Tom Tillis behind her, John Jenkins behind her, and Rona McDaniels behind her. And so it looked like that picture kind of, froze where everybody was sitting in the Rose Garden. And then if you looked at the tweet that came out announcing that Notre Dame president John Jenkins was criticized for not wearing a mask and shaking hands, and he is tested positive. And then a little more detail was that the local paper learned that a colleague with whom he had been in regular contact tested positive for COVID. Jenkins was tested and found to be positive too. As a result, he entered isolation. Da, 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 da. So he was in contact with somebody at Notre Dame who was subsequently shown to be positive. And then it's very likely that that person at Notre Dame infected Jenkins. And so Jenkins had been probably fairly newly infected when he arrived for the ceremony at the Rose Garden. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if Amy Coney Barrett had been positive over the summer. So I wouldn't be surprised if she infected this other guy who's unnamed here, who then infected Jenkins, who then infected all of these people in the Rose Garden, which might have included the president and Hope Hicks. And so that's
interesting, because there's
who the super spreader is.
That's a very interesting analysis. And there's a real outsider there that is plugged into a matrix of people that are, not dissimilar to each other in terms of exposure and meeting. And it's that fits. That fits the scenario. Very good. Good job.
Yeah. And you got to see the picture. I mean, the picture is amazing because they're there. Bing, bing, bing. Every person that gets announced, you go there and there they are. They're all sitting in the, one, two, three of them are right in a row, sitting in four
interesting
seats. There's only,
send me that picture
the only
if
person,
you can.
The only person that's not infected so far is Azar, and he's the only person there wearing a mask. But anyway.
Yeah. Good.
But there are a lot more in the picture that haven't been named yet that are a little bit further away. So I don't think they're done as far as, how big that cluster is going to be. And in addition to all of those, there are three journalists that are positive now. And in addition to that, there are 11 people who were advanced people and setting things up for the debate. And most of them were from out of state, as in, I would say, Washington, D.C. And so the number of people that are infected that are already confirmed is much higher than the number that have actually been named. So there's all these other support people or media people that have also been infected. So the cluster, if you count the people
three,
that
three
set
White
up
House
the,
press reporters who have not been named
right,
are infected.
Right.
At least three,
right.
But they won't tell us who they are, but we'll see.
Right. And I believe there was a staff person who was a contact with the press people who's also positive. And then there's 11 people that were involved with setting up the debate. And whether those were associated with Trump or not, they didn't go into detail, but they said 11 people setting up the debate stage from out
Got
of
it.
State
right.
were positive. And I would think that out of state might be, you know, referring to Washington and,
mm-hmm.
Because the debate was in Cleveland. At Case Western, I said, I was complaining to my daughter, that's where she went to school. But, so that's kind of the cluster. And now the take home of the cluster is, I think it might be a turning point as far as making people realize that the virus is real. It does spread and, it can be serious. And that if you basically hold events, even if they're outside, the Rose Garden was outside. So even if it's outside, if you're not wearing masks and you're shaking hands and you're giving hugs and, you're going to get infected if somebody there is already infected. And, I have a strong suspicion that, if it isn't John Jenkins, it was somebody else, but, it was somebody at the Rose Garden. But just
now,
where
that
all
person,
these people
Henry,
were seeing.
Have we want to help our listeners who aren't up on super spreaders. Was that person, whoever it was, and you've got pretty darn good analysis there, was that person particularly acutely, heavily, virally laden? Is that what we're thinking here? And it was very easy for him to pass this along?
Yeah, exactly what makes a super spreader isn't clear. I mean, he has said that my symptoms are mild and I will continue work from home. So you have the highest level of virus really a day or two before you develop symptoms. And so it's possible that it's really more a timing event, that he may have gone there on Saturday, a day or two before he was, developed symptoms. And so he had his peak viral load when he was there, but he was asymptomatic. So he didn't know he was infected. They were supposed to be testing everybody. I take that back. That's what they were supposed to be doing for the debate. So I'm not sure how much testing they were doing for the Rose Garden. You would think they would be doing a lot of testing. But the other aspect of this, and this is critical, that Hope Hicks developed symptoms Wednesday afternoon. And she had been tested on Wednesday morning, and she was negative Wednesday morning.
Well, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Go ahead. False negative.
That means it was a false negative because she was tested with the rapid test that they use at the White House from Abbott. And it's a test that gives you the results in 15 minutes, but it's not very sensitive.
Correct.
It's not very sensitive. Correct. And so because it's not sensitive, you can have enough virus to be picked up with a PCR test. So if you take that same sample and do a PCR test on it, it'll take you a few hours to get the results, but it'll be positive. And if you take that same sample and do it with a rapid test, then you get a result in 15 minutes, and it's negative. And so that test is known to lack sensitivity and to give false negative. And the same thing happened with Stephen Miller's wife, that she was coughing. Right. I'm sorry, press secretary. It was Pence's press secretary.
Miller's wife.
And Stephen Miller's wife. Okay, right. Okay, I thought you were correcting. So, yeah, she's both. So she was coughing the day before she was confirmed, but she had been tested that morning. It had also been negative. So she was negative when she was symptomatic on that test. And then a day or two later, she ended up testing positive. And it's another example where she not only had the virus, but she was actually coughing. But she was telling people, don't worry, it's not COVID, because she had just tested negative. So the test not only gives a false negative, but it gives a false sense of security to the person. It's not a big deal because I just took the test this morning and it said I was negative. So I'm coughing, but it's not because of COVID. And so that's one
what
of the...
What test did you take this morning?
The one I
PCR?
Took was PCR.
Okay.
Yeah. And the PCR test generally takes at least 4 hours. And that's what Trump and Melania took. That's why they announced it at 1 o'clock in the morning. Because they ended up taking her out.
Yeah, we lost Henry momentarily. Interestingly enough, less than 12 hours, well, give or take, after Trump announced the next morning, would have been this morning, the White House announced he was showing symptomatic. And I, at that point, said, he's Walter Reed.
Okay, sorry.
When Trump was tested negative, Henry, which was yesterday, excuse me, positive, which was yesterday, this morning he was reported as being symptomatic by the White House, and then he's gone off to Walter Reed. He showed symptoms about 18 hours after the test.
No. Don't believe the White House. I mean, give me a break. The White House is not the source of accurate information. That's the propaganda center, just like Fox News. Trump has been symptomatic since Tuesday. Tuesday, he fell asleep on the plane after the debate, and he doesn't normally do that. Wednesday, he was fatigued. He had a raspy voice. And when he went to Minnesota, he only did a 45-minute rally. He usually goes on and on for an hour and a half. So he wasn't feeling well then. And
good observations. Very smart.
And he had a... he had a low-grade fever today, and I think he had a sore throat too. So I don't even know how accurate all of those are, because he is in the hospital, and he's already been treated with a monoclonal antibody cocktail. And so, you know, things are moving right along. And
is
so
that Regeneron? Is that Regeneron?
Well, yeah, he's got Regeneron's antibody. And it's actually two. It's two monoclonal antibodies. I don't know. I think the White House put out some statement about some polyclonal antibody that definitely was not written by a scientist. That was somebody that designed a term that's used in science, but is not used for describing two monoclonal antibodies. When you have multiple monoclonal antibodies, they refer to it as a cocktail. So it's a monoclonal antibody cocktail, and the cocktail consists of two different monoclonal antibodies. So it's two antibodies that are made in the lab. They got a lot of, an unlimited supply of it. They're both targeted to the spike protein and are able to neutralize the virus. So they're both neutralizing antibodies. And they use a couple of them to get better coverage. And that is what Trump was treated with while he was still at the White House. And
so you notice that he the black doctor Stella, what's her name anyway? She was furious today that he had quit taking his hydroxy. She blamed that for his infection, which is kind of a little sidebar. Let me ask this question: since Trump was symptomatic Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, today, whichever news service picked up the White House report that he was symptomatic on Friday, so he had already been symptomatic for 3 days, does his trip to Walter Reed, let's say you were his doctor, would you recommend the same procedure? Would you recommend that he check in?
Yeah, well, the reason he's at Walter Reed, okay, is because they did start him on the antibodies. And the antibodies have not been FDA approved yet. They haven't even been approved for emergency use yet. They have gone through a phase 1, 2, 3. I think they kind of merged them all together. So they have had a clinical trial. They do show promise, but the grand total of cases that have been treated, I think, is something like 250. So they really haven't had that many cases treated yet. And so they don't really know, potential complications that you might see in a larger population. I think that they mostly targeted probably younger people and early. So they were really looking to basically get people out of the hospital and keep them from going on ventilators. And I think those were the endpoints that they were looking at. And so they probably have very little, because out of those 250 people, not all of them actually even got the drug. And, whether they did a third or a placebo or half or a placebo.
So
they have been tested. So the idea is that there could be potential side effects. There could be complications. And that's why it's in the hospital. Or that's one of the reasons why it's in the hospital. They have not been... They have not been forthcoming with a whole lot of detail, and as you indicated,
virtually no detail.
Right, and the detail that's come out. I mean, I heard his old doctor. What was his name? The guy who said he wasn't obese and he could live forever or something.
Dr. Doolittle, I think his name was.
No. You'll recognize his name here. I would recognize his name. I didn't write it down. But he was the doctor. He was the White House doctor last year or the year before. And he gave a glowing report. It's not the doctor that did the dictated one. It was basically Trump's. This was... anyway... he was giving a glowing report for Fox. He was saying, oh, he doesn't have any symptoms, and it's probably not, this is going to be a minor type of a thing, and there's not really going to be problems because he's asymptomatic, is what he had said. And he said that, I think he said that today. So this morning, I think, but today. And so he was another rich source of misinformation. So there's a fair amount of non-information and misinformation. And the situation is significantly more severe than has been reported, and started earlier than has been reported. But I think that the symptoms are accurate. The length of the talk in Minnesota is, I think it's, you can double check it, but I heard
no,
it
was
only
45
minutes.
No, that's a good call, Henry. That was very good. You're smart. Very sharp. Let me ask all of you out there a question. There's this is a little bit of an aside. It's not to do with what we're talking about. There was a story I ran yesterday, and the title was, the question, Antifa weaponizing arson? In other words, all these fires out here, and the inside word is, we all out here know that Antifa and BLM were seriously involved with a large number of the fires. There were God knows how many fires. That story...
You know, based on what? A dark figure and a camera?
No, people who have been involved with Antifa and BLM that I know personally. Okay, and the reward was $10,000 if you started a big, big fire. They're being paid.
Yeah.
That's just leave it. But my question is, the story, Antifa weaponizing arson, has been scrubbed from the internet, and also removed from the Wayback Machine.
It doesn't have any basis. It doesn't have any basis.
All right, I can't find it. It's not on the Wayback Machine.
Yeah.
And if anyone, just a minute, if anyone out there has that story, please send it over. Antifa weaponizing arson, ? I'd like to have a copy of it. It's gone. It's nowhere to be found. So that's that. Thank
you.
Go ahead.
That was a story I heard a couple of weeks ago. But and there were some photographs that went along with it that didn't look all
no,
that
convincing. No, there was some video. I had video
whatever.
Of a guy in all black hoodie, black pants, with a gas can and a torch. Anyway, okay, that's not what we're talking about here.
And the picture of the guy knocking out the windows in the AutoZone
store. That guy was a plant. We know that now.
Exactly.
Okay.
So just because you're wearing
black. Let's go back to Trump. Let's go back to Trump.
Yeah.
Trump.
Okay.
Trump's condition is clearly the number one political subject in the world right now. That's what everyone's thinking about. What are you seeing? And I need you to keep me up to date as you always do. What are you hearing? And when do you hear it? Let me know. That would give us some inside, at least guessing, potential as to what he's really dealing with there. They're going to keep this obviously very well covered up, as much as they already have been.
Well, I think there's going to be a fair amount of pressure. So that's why I say some of this is leaking out. I mean, the original story was from Bloomberg. I mean, just to give you an idea on how bad the cover-up part is and how complicit, if you want. Anyway, I'll just tell you, you can characterize it however you want. But Hope Hicks, like I said, Wednesday tested negative. She started feeling unwell when she was at the rally in Minnesota. And she self-quarantined when they blew back. And so she ended up going out the back steps, and she was, kind of by herself during the flight. And so she knew she was sick Wednesday night. And then they tested her Thursday morning, and she tested positive. And then Trump was informed that she had tested positive, and he had already gotten on the plane to go to his golf course in New Jersey to do a fundraiser. And somehow he justified going to New Jersey and doing the fundraiser, even though, you know, he has close contact with Hope Hicks. A, B, she was positive, and C, he didn't feel well. He was very fatigued, and like I said, it was only a 45-minute rally. And so he went to the rally anyway. Mm-hmm. And what did he do at the rally? Did you see videos?
No.
He was throwing MAGA hats to the crowd. So he was literally airmailing virus out to whoever could literally catch it by catching the hat he was throwing. Or hats. Mm-hmm. He didn't just throw one. So he was throwing hats out when he knew that Hope Hicks was sick, and he was throwing hats out and he knew he wasn't feeling well, and ended up doing a shorter rally. And then the next day, after it was confirmed that Hope Hicks was positive, so he was, you know, even if he didn't know that his fatigue was caused by the virus, he knew that he was in close contact with a lab-confirmed positive, and still went to a event where he was basically going hobnobbing, you know, at close distance with donors. And, of course, nobody had any masks. So he's had a very cavalier attitude. And the only reason he's not going to Wisconsin tomorrow is because he's in Walter Reed. But he was scheduled to go to Green Bay and La Crosse, Wisconsin tomorrow. Wisconsin has a positive rate overall for the state of 22%. So 22% of the tests that they do come back positive. And the two areas that have the highest infection rate are La Crosse and Green Bay. So he was going to the two most infected places in Wisconsin, which is one of the, Wisconsin's been reporting 2,800 cases per day for the past 3 or 4 days, and there's well over 2,000 for most, if not all, of last week. And so he was going to go to a rally, of which one or two were going to be indoors. So he's going to go to one of the hottest states in the country and the hottest cities in the state, mm-hmm. and go indoors to do a rally. And so it was kind of just a matter of time before he was going to get infected. And in this case, it sounds like it was a super spreader event. So, and it sounds like it was the I never promise you a rose garden location on Saturday, which has had all of these dignitaries to celebrate the Supreme Court nominee, and in the interim put them all out of commission, including Trump, Melania, and Hope Hicks. And so it's kind of a wake-up call. And so it's a wake-up call, number one, that even though they get tested daily, and even though they say they don't need to wear a mask, they do need to wear a mask. They do need to, I mean, they got videos. They were not only not wearing masks, they were hugging each other, and they're standing around talking before they sat down to talk. And it was outside, but in spite of being outside, it's up to what? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you got 9 high-level people in counting right now. So 9 are already confirmed, and there will be more. There's little doubt that there will be more. So you ended up with a super spreader event. And it might have been as simple as somebody that had been infected, had peak level of shedding, and was still asymptomatic, and somehow they didn't test them or they used
timing.
An insensitive test. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's all you need. That basically, if you got a whole lot of people that are infected, then the one that you happen to come in contact at just the right time, where viral loads were highest, it would be, well, you know, the person doesn't feel that sick. They don't even know they're infected. And
this all happened in a period of about an hour, I think. That's it.
Yeah, it does. I mean, when they take, they define prolonged contact as like 15 minutes or something. So that's kind of what the definition is of a contact of a confirmed case. So it's basically if somebody's confirmed and you were in contact with that person for 15 minutes, that's an indication that there's a good chance that you did end up getting infected. But the fact that Trump is in the hospital already and they've already administered a monoclonal antibody cocktail.
Right.
That is not FDA approved or emergency use approved.
That's right. Only 250 people are there about. So it's not even emergency use approved.
This is definitely experimental drug category.
So this is what you're saying is a warning sign that we may have a serious issue or they're being extremely conservative. And their approach and trying to make sure they do everything. I mean, liberal in their approach. Sorry, I said it backwards.
Well, either way, I think it's an indication of the seriousness of the illness.
That's what I'm trying to get at. That's exactly what I'm trying to get at.
Because any drug has a certain amount of risk, especially if it's only been used in 250 people. So the side effects aren't clear. And there's never been an explanation as to why he had that earlier trip to Walter Reed. It was supposed to be the beginning of a physical, which on a Saturday afternoon with a whole
There's another aspect
of cars.
Yeah, there's another aspect of this. Trump, for whatever reason, is apparently a very highly active, motivated, obese 75-year-old, very highly activated. Whether you approve of him or not, that's irrelevant. When he goes into a setting like this, where all of a sudden his entire schedule is canceled, his entire level of activity is brought to virtual zero, he's in bed, sometimes, and this is old news to many of you, but your body just tends to kind of just not shut down or shut off, but really go into a state of, what's the word, Henry? You just kind of quit, and your immune system doesn't, it's not at the high level it should be. He could get real sick real fast just laying in bed. I guess that's one way to phrase it.
Yeah, well, I mean, two different related point. One is he actually looked relatively good going out to the helicopter. I mean, he looked like he's been kind of slumped over lately. He didn't really look slumped over. He's kind of walking quickly. He wasn't when he was filmed going to the helicopter on Thursday. He was dragging.
Right.
I mean, he was hunched over and kind of walking slowly.
I saw a picture of him there. He was hunched over. That's weird. Yeah.
So today he looked better, you know, and maybe it's because he knew all the cameras were on and they just want to see how sick he was. And so he did put on a good show going to the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
But the best indicator on how he's feeling is just count how many tweets you sent out today. and that's a major insight into exactly what's going on with him.
Did you think of that yourself?
Yeah. That's pretty good.
That's very good thinking.
Yeah.
The number of tweets is a barometer of how he really feels. That's interesting.
So there haven't been any that I know of. So that's another way you can get a little bit of insight. So I think he is serious. I mean, there's numbers that have been put out on his condition, his underlying conditions, his age, his weight.
But we don't know what happened 6 months ago, do we?
So excluding that, what do you think the fatality rate is projected to be?
In someone in his profile?
In Donald J. Trump, correct.
I think it's fairly significant. I wouldn't even want to try and hang a number on it, but it seems from what you've informed me and us about tonight, this could turn into a very serious problem in a day or two.
Yeah. Well, today that is estimated at 5 to 11%. So I was going to say
10, but okay. I don't like to make guesses like that.
Yeah. So that's what
I wonder if
I'm not saying that, but I understand. I've heard doctors use those numbers.
Do you think Boris Johnson may have called him and said, "Get your ass in the hospital"?
I don't know. Boris Johnson, you know, I think he was in the hospital 10 days. I think he was in the ICU 3 days.
Oh my God.
It was kind of touching to go while he was in the ICU.
He said it could have gone either way. That's what he said.
Right. And so I'm not sure if it got that far. I think the doctors told him that. You know, because I'm almost positive the doctors told him that. I mean, he's got good doctors. I don't know about the guy who I can't think of it. Ronnie Jackson, right? Isn't that the doctor?
That's right. I think you got it. So
Ronnie Jackson wasn't there. He said he didn't have any symptoms, but the doctors he does have, you know, there's a serious responsibility. I think that they just looked at his condition and they say he's got a low grade fever and that doesn't really mean anything because some infections you can have virtually no fever and still have a serious infection and low grade. Yeah, they just throw that in. But the fact that he's got a fever, he was fatigued. Oh, he's also supposed to have breathing difficulty. So,
where'd you hear that?
I heard that a couple different places on cable news. I was on MSNBC, and I think it might have been on CNN also.
That's a new one. All right. Well, let's just stack it up here and look at it. He's having totally experimental medication already.
Right.
He's having now reported that you're corroborating these breathing difficulties. That's a real bad sign. I don't want to be alarmist here or anything or pass judgment, but that's not a good sign when you hear that phrase this early on. He looked good as Henry said, going to the helicopter. Maybe he was performing. I would expect him probably to. But this is, what would be the next thing you might expect to hear?
He's in the ICU.
Oh, by the way, pardon me? ICU? Yeah.
That would be the next thing I'd expect to hear.
They'll probably rename it, though, just for him.
Well, I don't know what they'll say. I mean, they like I said, if you listen to the White House thing, he's resting comfortable, and he's going to be getting first he was going to get work done in the White House, and now he's going to the hospital, and he's going to get work done in the hospital. And I'm not sure he did anything in the, he didn't tweet anything while he was in the White House. And he didn't tweet anything from the helicopter, from Marine One. And I haven't looked, but I'm assuming he hasn't tweeted anything. I mean, he did make a, 15-second video, but, that was, again, it was just something that he had to put out to show that, alive and well and things aren't that bad. But, I mean, the statements they put out are just suspect. I mean, to say that he's going to be, working from home, and then all of a sudden, and they know it. They knew about the helicopter. I mean, the helicopter to get all the logistics to take him by Marine One to Walter Reed took several hours. So, I mean, he was scheduled to leave, 5:30 or something. But they were probably working on that since probably early afternoon or late morning type thing, just to get all the personnel
involved. They
got
to clear airspace. They got to do all kinds of stuff.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So they were planning on doing this all along when they were talking about how much work he's going to get done at the White House, and he wasn't going to get anything done at the White House. They had to do. I'm not sure how involved he got 8 grams, which I think is a lot. So I'm not sure how.
What is a grab?
Grams. 8 grams of the antibody. That's how much
grams
you got.
Okay.
Right.
8 grams. I don't know anything about the drug.
Which is, 8 grams is a lot for any drug. And therefore, I have a feeling that, that's an infusion, and it's over a significant time frame, would be my guess. And
he's on the doorstep of being in apparently serious condition, if he isn't already.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
That was the other comment. The other comment was, you can give somebody an experimental drug, but usually, if you're giving somebody an experimental drug, that's because nothing else has worked. It's usually towards the end of the treatment. It's not like the first thing you do.
Correct.
And so the fact that he already got it. He already got the first shot in the hospital. I'm sorry, in the White House, not in the hospital. He got it before he left.
Now that's telling also. What is that saying? That Donald is an advocate, he's just really excited about experimental medications, or...
No, he would have taken all hydroxychloroquine.
That's right.
He just wanted to take a drug and see what's going to happen. I would guess, you mentioned it, they did issue a press release 2 days ago, Regeneron did, that they had completed this initial phase, and they thought the results looked good. But others have said that the results look promising. I mean, nobody's saying it doesn't work, and nobody's saying it doesn't do much. But I think, I don't remember the parameters, there were some numbers that they gave out, and again, it sounded like it was promising. It wasn't like it was a wonder drug. They took it and people got discharged. It was something was at a lower level, but it wasn't like it was real high for the placebo and it was zero.
Well, this
for
is
the
not
drug.
A frontline. This is not a frontline technique to use. This is a last resort kind of thing.
No, because there's competition. There's another one by about it. Lily's got another combination. I think it might be three monoclonals, and New York University is working on another combination. And so It's not like Regeneron's got it. It's in phase three, and might as well try something different. There's other cocktails that are in trials or going to be in trials shortly. So it isn't like this is it's not the end of the line. This is the best they're ever going to do. This is the first that they've got. But that's what he's got. And I would stay tuned. But they're talking about him being in the hospital a couple of days. I would not put in the couple of days category. He will not be out at the beginning of next week. He'll be in the hospital for a little while. And the next announcement might be that he's in the ICU. But that would not be a surprise to me anyway. So we'll see. It is the October surprise. And,
sure it is.
We'll see how it develops.
All right, Henry. Thank you. Talk to you on a Monday. Keep me posted, please, if you hear anything else. I'd appreciate it.
Okay, very good. Have a good weekend. Talk to you.
You too. All right, good night. Dr. Henry Nyman, there you go. I think this is probably the best overall assessment of the current situation you're going to hear from anyone. Okay, well, we'll keep watching it for you. Thanks for being here. And indeed, have a good weekend. But don't forget, prepare. You still have a little time. Back soon.